I'm Nathan.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is SciFighters. And today we're talking about shared universes versus crossovers.
Yeah, so this is a really, I really enjoy this topic, something like this. You know, we have the Marvel movies out. You have lots of comic books that have kind of done crossovers and shared univi.
Univi?
I just made that word up.
Nah.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, the last two episodes that we've done, we've kind of been talking about this. Marvel versus DC.
Right.
Obviously, we talked about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and then all that other stuff. And then when we talked about the Ninja Turtles, you mentioned that there was going to be the, like that Hasbro. Hasbro?
Yeah, Hasbro.
Yeah, the Hasbro Cinematic Universe, and there's just going to be all this stuff that was melding together. And I still don't know how I feel about that.
Well, let's take a step back. Before we talk about these things that make sense to take place in the single universe, so Marvel or maybe Hasbro or something like that, let's talk about things that maybe don't but have had crossovers. So recently there's been, and recently in the last year, maybe two, I'm not exactly sure when it came out, and I can't talk specifics, but because I just don't know them. But like Ninja Turtles, there's been an IDW and DC Comics crossing over Ninja Turtles and Batman.
Sure.
DC has had they've had this connection with IDW before where they crossed over, I might get this wrong, I think it's the Legion of Superheroes. No, that's not even a real thing. I'm losing it.
The Legion of Wordy Things.
No, I think it is Legion of Superheroes. And Star Trek, because IDW had Star Trek, DC had that, and there's a long history of that. Batman specifically, Batman versus Predator. They've done Alien with Dark Horse. They've kind of crossed over, and then you have in the mid '90s, you had DC meets Marvel. So you have that like crossover between universes, and kind of how those characters would interact together. So you had, you know, you finally get to like put the Hulk up against Superman or something like that. And then around that same time, Marvel and DC were like, let's do this spinoff. And it was called Amalgam. Have you heard of, do you know about Amalgam?
No.
So Amalgam is when DC, like writers from DC and writers from Marvel got together and they
like created Ghost Riders?
Not quite. they created this universe and they would take a character from DC and like mesh him with a character from Marvel, from the Marvel universe. So you got like Dark Claw, which was a mixture between Batman and Wolverine.
So it was like an actual mixture?
They actually mixed the two characters together.
So it was like
they were in their own universe, in the Amalgam universe.
But did they treat it like this was one character that had been cloned from the two, or was it one character?
It was just one character that was kind of made up of parts from the two.
Okay, so they weren't like trying to...
No. There wasn't any... It was just a, what if we combine these characters? So you had like... I don't remember the name, but basically like Green Lantern and Iron Man mixing together. You had Orion and Thor, which was great because they're both Jack Kirby characters.
But in terms of Batman,
Thor Ryan, I think is what it was called.
The Ryan. So like
Magneto and the Metal Men. So
but
you
like
had
Batman and Wolverine. It wasn't like Bruce Wayne undergoing
experiments. No.
It was just a whole new character.
That was very obviously a mixture between the two characters.
See, Green Arrow and Iron Man, they're basically already the same character.
Green Lantern.
Oh, Green Lantern. I thought you said Green Arrow.
I think I changed it, yeah. So, Green Lantern. It's Green Lantern and Iron Man.
Okay, Green Lantern and Iron Man, basically the same personality.
I mean, there's lots of things that kind of go. So, and then I think they did Superboy and Spider-Man. I can't remember. I think Superman and Captain America. They did a whole series of them. Like I said, they did Magneto and the Metal Men, so they would do these teams. That was Justice League and the Avengers, all these things. And they each had like one issue.
Right.
So it was just this little thing they did. And it's one of those things like when I see one of the books, I'll pick it up sometimes just because it's a weird little thing. It doesn't exist in any universe.
And you do like picking up weird little things.
I do.
Just, never mind. So before we get too deep into this, I mean, I assume most people probably already know the difference between a crossover and a shared universe.
Or an amalgamation.
Or an amalgamation. But just to kind of clarify that a little bit, a shared universe, well, probably easier to start with crossover. Crossover is there are two distinct properties, and there's one issue or a very limited run where these characters can be found in the same book or comic or movie or whatever. The shared universe, it is an ongoing thing.
Right. So they even exist within the universe together. They're neighbors. They're whatever.
Right. So even if Batman and Superman rarely interact with each other, you know, Gotham and
Metropolis.
I was about to say Sterling City. I was like, no, no, that's not it either. Gotham and Metropolis, they exist in the same world. Maybe they show up. Maybe they help each other. Whatever. Right. So yeah, the crossover, limited, shared universe, right. these big expansive things. So back to where we were.
Yeah, well, let's go back. Again, well, DC has really done a lot of these kinds of things.
And, which kinds of things? The shared universe or the crossovers?
Crossovers, and but also shared universe, Psy. I'm going to make that word by the
it's
end of this.
It's not a word.
Okay. So the other thing DC has done is...
a Scottish person saying universe. Universe,
DC, DC within their universe, have several different universes. And, you know, they have... And every few years, they'll have a crisis where they have to mesh those universes together. So maybe one of the first crossover... maybe not the first, but an early crossover was in the 80s when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Right.
What had happened is DC had obtained the rights to all of the Charlton comic characters and maybe even a couple
Heston?
Other ones. No, not Charlton, Heston.
Oh. I read a comic about him.
So,
not even his characters, just him.
So, he just thinks he's Moses all the time.
Moses with a shotgun, yeah.
So there is a... Blue Beetle, The Question, The Atom, a lot of those characters, lots of other characters as well, kind of they needed a reason to bring them into their universe, into the proper DC universe. So they did Crisis on Infinite Earths, which basically had all these Earths, and then at the end they all combined, so they would merge all of these worlds that they had developed, including the DC comic characters from the 1940s. So the Golden Age Superman, Wonder Woman, all that, they combined them all. They found a way to come over. So after that, there's actually two Supermen living in the universe. There was old Superman, and there was
not old Superman.
Current Superman. So, but they brought all these characters over into to the universe. So that was one of the early. Kind of like, how do we pull these characters from this other universe and make them part of our universe? So they go from being a crossover to a shared universe. And and you'll notice a lot of those characters, the similarities between those Charlton characters and the Watchmen, lots of similarities because originally they were going to make the Watchmen those characters. And now the Watchmen has been an anomaly also because they have always been outside of the DC universe. They're a DC property, but they've not been within the universe until
well,
now.
Well, is it DC proper, or is it one of the sub
no, it was
things,
always
like
it was
Image?
DC.
Or...
No, it was DC. DC owns Vertigo.
That Vertigo, that's
yeah.
the one I was thinking.
But no, it was always DC. Now, they have just, from what I understand, part of the new DC collaboration thing, or the new DC... thing is they've actually brought them into the universe proper. I don't know how. I've just read about it. I haven't read it. So the Watchmen are kind of part of the universe proper, so they've kind of done that same thing again. So, yeah, that's where... that's kind of... DC's done a lot of that kind of stuff. Marvel has done a little bit of that more recently, where they had their two separate universes as well. They have their Ultimate Universe and then the proper Marvel Universe. And they brought them over with this last Secret Wars. They combined the two so they exist within a single universe.
See, and I just don't know how I feel about some of that stuff.
It gets complicated.
Well, it gets complicated, but my reasoning behind why I don't know how I feel about it is probably not the common answer. I have nothing wrong with shared universes. I have nothing wrong with crossovers.
I have something wrong with multiple universes with the same characters.
I have nothing wrong with multiverses. Nothing wrong with any of that. Or this will tie in a second, but like Marvel's What If comics, nothing wrong with those. I love all of those. But I love them for what they are. You know, part of the reason that I love the What If comics is because it is purely a, this does not affect canon, this does not affect the rules of the universe, this doesn't affect how any of the things currently happening have played out. This is just a what if. You know, what if Batman was Spider-Man's father? You know, that'd be an interesting comic because, yeah, sure, why not? Be interesting. However, as soon as it turns into, oh, well, surprise, Batman really is Spider-Man's father. Just, but no, you can't. God, that changes everything now. And so, like, that's the
thing. Like what was just released about Captain America.
Oh, yeah. All right. I mean, that's... major spoiler here. So if you don't like spoilers, put your hand over your ears and go, la, 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 la.
Or if you haven't been on the internet for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, whatever. All right. Are you la, la, lying? Good. Yeah. So Captain America being part of Hydra.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Now, I'm sure this is a gimmick. I'm sure this is going to play out and it's going to be like, oh, it was all a trick. Here's my question. If he was part of Hydra, how was he able to lift Thor's hammer?
Right. So that's part of it.
Yeah.
And just, it undoes
everything. It undoes, like, 75 years of continuity.
Yeah. I mean, that's the entire thing. Captain America was Captain America. He literally was punching Nazis in the face. Like, not just, not Nazis, just Nazis, Nazism.
Hitler.
Yeah. Like, that... It is such an iconic cover to punch Hitler in the face because that's what America was doing. So as soon as you turn him into Hydra, now if they're intentionally trying to do some
political commentary
about how America is no longer what it once was.
It's going to be a long game, and he's not, I don't think.
Yeah. All right, 30 seconds are over. You can stop la-la-lying. We'll try not to have too many major spoilers. No guarantees. So yeah, I like shared universe. I like crossovers. I just don't like it when a crossover then kind of becomes part of that universe. It just, I don't know, it stops being logical for me.
Well, I don't think you see that very often. As with a true crossover, a crossover is where you have two companies. I mean, yes, you could have a crossover. In the early days, you would have called Captain America and a Thor comic a crossover.
Right.
I'm not really calling that because those are all shared universes now. Like, when you see... Now, I do have a little bit of issue with that shared universe in say, Civil War, Marvel Civil War, where it's not really a Captain America movie at that point. When you have all those Avengers characters still there,
yeah,
it doesn't really do anything to call that a Captain America movie. He's not, I mean, I guess he's kind of the center of it, but...
He's kind of in it or whatever.
But it's not really just his movie. So that becomes a little... different. So I guess in a way those are crossovers, but they're really crossovers within a shared universe where Ninja Turtles meeting Batman is a true crossover. Yeah. It doesn't really do anything. They take these two properties, they put them together, and they pull them apart. It's just a nice, it's almost like a what if story.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I included it in that list of things.
Right. And they also did, recently they did the Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. It always ends up with like a rift coming, and you know they end up in there, and they come back. And with Ninja Turtles, it's something that you can do that with because there's a lot of dimension hopping in Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
it seems weird. It's not something you think about often with Ninja Turtles, but it's a big part of.
Oh yeah, and Dimension X is.
Yeah.
When they finally said, you know, we can't start mutating everyone. Let's just have alternate dimensions. That's a lot easier to explain.
Yeah. So and it's came in handy. Since then, because they've had their universe, or they've had, you know, you can cross over, here's a crossover, the 80s cartoon Ninja Turtles with the current cartoon Ninja Turtles.
Right.
And it's a really neat thing to see. It's something that, it's kind of a cool kind of fan service, but it's also just a fun little thing.
Well, and it also works, again, because there already is that dimensional portal and stuff
and
like that.
And they did the same thing with, they've done the same thing with Star Trek. What they did with
I'm getting
the
to Star Trek in a minute.
Okay, well, I won't.
So coming back a little bit to that Hasbro cinematic universe, you know, part of why I was like, I don't know how I feel about it is for that very reason. You know, like, how are G.I. Joe going to fit in with Transformers. And I know there's the comic line, and I'm okay with it, and I like all of that, and whatever. But as soon as you start bringing all that stuff in together, it just... It's almost like, how can there be Cobra Commander and Shredder? You know, like, at what point do they just start fighting each other over control of things?
And I think there is... In my mind, G.I. Joe and Transformers have always been in the same universe, even though they've never shown up on cartoons or anything like that. There was actually a little bit of crossover in the G.I. Joe cartoon. It was Transformers, where there was a character called, like, the Old Snake or something like that. And he was very obviously Cobra Commander. Of course, Starscream and Cobra Commander were voiced by the same actor, so they used him. And it was, there were kind of things like that where it's always been this idea that those two were. But at the time, back in the 80s, many of these other properties that are going to be in the cinematic universe weren't owned by Hasbro.
Maybe that's why everyone in G.I. Joe was such a terrible shot. They were all using Transformer guns. And they were like, oh, we don't actually want to kill humans. We're just, you know, miss.
Yeah, sure. So the other thing that's neat about that is you've got G.I. Joe, and then you've got Mask, which is at the time wasn't, but now is owned by Hasbro.
Yeah.
So you've got Mask, and Mask was mobile armored
Strike secret
command or something like that. Strike Command, mobile armor, maybe, I don't remember. Anyway, so
it stood for something.
Those were the good guys, but then the bad guys. Their names were Venom, which also stood for something. So it makes complete sense that Venom...
Very evil, nefarious, on men.
Yes. So it makes sense.
Did Venom ever attack women?
I don't know. So they were very there was evil, a woman in Venom, I believe. But so you've got Mask, which is very could very easily be a division of G.I. Joe. And you've got Venom, that would make sense to be a division of Cobra.
I guess.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, it's pushing it. But you've also got Rom the Space Knight, which is one part of the cinematic universe. You've got Visionaries, which always seemed to me like they were the mystic side of G.I. Joe, the G.I. Joe group, or could be. And then you've got, they're doing Action Man, which is kind of weird because Action Man was originally... Well, Action Team, I guess, was actually part of G.I. Joe. It was actually what G.I. Joe kind of turned into for a while. Yeah. So that kind of makes sense.
Well, and if you're looking at the toys, there was that Street Fighter line of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, there's Street Fighter, yeah. Speaking of crossovers, yeah. They also did Mortal Kombat.
And they did, like, weird animal mutation people the things. And...
Or no, Mute Animals was Ninja Turtles. Yes, I love those guys. I'd love to get a couple of those.
Yeah.
In my collection. The Mega Marines, Mega Monsters, which was part of that line. I have those.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a great... I'm excited about it. Now, last I checked, Transformers was not connected with the Marvel's, the Hasbro Cinematic Universe in the movies.
Right.
It is in the comics. However, there's been some rumor that the next movie, the next Transformer movie is called... It's a weird title for a Transformer movie.
Rise of Cobra.
No.
Rise of My Cobra.
It was...
Just Michael Bay making... So
it was called something...
As far as the Hasbro Cinematic Universe, you know, like when I was a kid, I did that all the time. Like, sometimes when I was playing with my toys, like, G.I. Joes were G.I. Joes, and then I'd be done playing with them, and then play with Ninja Turtles, or whatever. But there were plenty of times that I would bring them all in together, and Snake Eyes would be riding on Megatron's back to go and blow up Krang. Because in my universe, Megatron was good. That's the thing that all of us did as kids. We combined all of our toys, and of course they were in a shared universe.
And now all those
people
who were our age are now making movies and comics. And
that's the part that I'm just like, I don't know how I feel about that, for it to be something that, of course you're going to do, and of course it's fun. But right. Then as soon as you're like, no, but this is how it actually is, it's almost like it takes the fun out of it somehow. In a very weird way, it's almost like rather than letting kids be imaginative and create whatever they want to, it's almost like saying, well, if you're not combining your toys, you're just being boring.
Well, all I'm saying is read Transformers versus G.I. Joe by Tom Scioli. It is amazing. But the next Transformer movie is called The Last Knight, and some people think they're going to introduce Ron the Space Knight in that movie. I don't know if they actually will, but, you know, it's just kind of some speculation, some neat what-if kind of situations.
Maybe they'll bring Batman in.
Maybe, yeah. That would be the Dark Knight. So I think that the Hasbro Cinematic Universe is really fun.
Sure.
And, of course, they've done that same thing with Marvel, and a lot of companies are kind of doing that. The Ghostbusters, they're talking about doing a Ghostbusters Cinematic Universe where they can expand out Ghostbusters after this next movie comes out. They're going to do a whole franchise. They're basically going to like franchise Ghostbusters like in the universe. So they'll be Ghostbusters, the West Coast Ghostbusters or whatever.
I love movies. There's part of me that absolutely loves the Marvel Cinematic Universe because, again, growing up geek, comics, toys, whatever. It's been great to have 12, 15, 80, however many movies they're on. It's been great to have like this shared story that watching all of these movies that, yes, they're their own story. They also have a much bigger story. And it's like, oh, I can't wait to the next one. I've loved it. I also, and we've talked a little bit about this, I kind of feel like there's starting to be some burnout. You know, like the next Marvel movie, it's just like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to see it eventually, but like, I'm still behind on phase two, and I'm okay. You know, like when people talk about, oh, this thing happened, it's like, yeah, I'll see it eventually. You know, there's so many movies out right now that I don't have that same drive to get into the theater to see the next Marvel movie, right. Because eventually it's going to be in my local used movie store, and I'll pick it up for $5.
Well, in the same regards to that, is there fear of that happening to Star Wars? Because they're doing that. There's a Star Wars movie every year from now till the foreseeable future. It's going to be a main trilogy movie and then a story movie, which would be a Star Wars story or whatever they're calling it today, that would take place, probably a historic piece to some extent. And then there would be, and then the trilogy, and then that, and then the trilogy, and then that. So I think right now they've only scheduled up through episode 9 and then 3 of those story movies.
I mean, I definitely think they run the risk of doing that, but at least with those, like the legends or stories or whatever, that aren't part of the trilogy.
Yeah, you're not necessarily missing anything if you don't see it.
Right. You know, like Rogue One.
It just builds on what's already there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see Rogue One. I'm really excited about it. I think it looks great.
The executives aren't.
Yeah. That is a different conversation. yeah.
It's not Star Wars enough.
Which it's not supposed to... Whatever. I'm really looking forward to it, in part because it doesn't have any bearing on Episode 8. Now, if they do something crazy and it's like this completely changes the history of... like, then I'll probably be a little upset that an offshoot story that's just supposed to be... hey, here's a thing. You already know the story. You already know what happened. We're filling in some of the details. If it's, but these details change everything, then I'll probably be a little upset because it'll be, no, this offshoot story isn't supposed to, it's not supposed to be required viewing. Dang it. So hopefully they don't do that. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely fear of burnout. And I mean, with DC, they're trying to do it, but it's not really picking up. It's not really working yet. And, you know, do they need to be trying to create a shared universe? Or would DC be better off just to keep making movies and maybe have some crossovers? You know, maybe you have Henry Cavill show up in whatever, an Aquaman movie, but does it mean that it's part of the same universe?
Right.
I don't think it needs to be. No. So, you were mentioning Star Trek earlier. I have something that I was going to say about that, but where were you going with Star Trek?
Well, I mean, you know, Star Trek, it was a reboot. It was billed as a reboot, and
I actually think they did a very good job with the reboot, where they're not taking you away from that other universe. The universe still exists, but they've connected the two, and they've connected the two through Spock, and they've let us know kind of like where it converges, where it differentiates. And so I mean, it's really neat that way, where it's kind of a crossover and it's kind of the same story. It's neat.
Yeah.
How they do that. So you're
well, and here. I was actually going to go a different Star Trek route. The Star Trek movies, I think, work because of that. You don't have to have seen any of the previous Star Wars to enjoy what's going on in the current movies. And if you love old Star Trek, then this isn't getting rid of any of that. So I think it's great. I love how the movies are going. Where I thought you were going to go with some of the crossovers, because you had just been talking about comics, was the Doctor Who and Star Trek crossovers. So you are obviously a huge Doctor Who fan. How do you feel about the crossovers and then the comics? Like, so far, that's the only place that it's shown up, right? It's not shown up in any of the audios or TV, it's just been comics.
Yeah.
How do you feel about...
Yeah, so those comics... here's the thing. There is potential for it to be great. There is potential for there to be lots of really good content in a story like that. The way it was done was not great. There's a lot of factors in terms of how you perceive something being good or not or whatever. And there are things like right off the bat that was going to set me to not like it. The art was photorealistic. I don't like photorealistic art in comics. The people writing it had a much better grasp on Star Trek than they did Doctor Who. In one of the issues, I was so annoyed by the way they drew, because they have a flashback where the Tom Baker Doctor had met the original series cast, and they drew him in a way where he was holding his sonic screwdriver incorrectly. I don't mean to be pedantic, but it had built up to this, and it was just like they didn't even do research. Like it was like unresearched. Like they got the Star Trek stuff right, but it was like unresearched. It was not well written. They had no grasp on the voices of the characters, and things like it just wasn't well executed. I have no issue with there being a crossover. I was excited about it, actually. I have issue with the execution.
Well, and you said that there have been several issues, right?
I don't know. I think it was a miniseries. It was like six issues or something.
So would you consider that crossover or...
It was a crossover.
Or shared universe?
No, it wasn't shared universe. It was just a miniseries. I mean, they actually set up how they're within the other's universe.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one is... I don't remember.
Well, see, and for you, you get really upset because, they're not doing Doctor Who justice and all this other stuff and
blah,
blah, blah.
I think they got Star Trek right.
And for me, and we talked about this a little bit before, to me, it's so weird to bring Doctor Who into the Star Trek universe because of Q and the Traveler.
I think Q was in it.
Which, like, it's just weird. You already have these supernatural-ish
beings like that. But, yeah, I mean, they're not exactly like it.
Of course they're not exactly like it. But, you know, like on the first episode of Next Generation, where the Traveler shows up. And, sorry, not the first episode. Q shows up somewhere early, very early. The Traveler shows up, and then Wesley eventually is traveling with the Traveler. How is that not the Doctor?
Well, I'm not saying it isn't, but it doesn't mean it's not like a variation of the Doctor in that universe. I mean, the Doctor can be off in his universe, and then he can come over here, and it doesn't matter. I mean, in the end, it's just about telling a story with these characters, meeting these characters. And the whole thing I don't know, it wasn't well executed. No. Again, I mean, the story was all right, I guess,
but it was just an issue of execution. The execution didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Many things about it just did not work for me. And the fact when you're going to give me a story and you're not going to research Doctor Who well enough to understand that the fourth Doctor doesn't hold his sonic screwdriver the way the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th does. Because it's designed differently. Like the way the probe is set, it's not a straight facing probe. It curves off. So you don't hold it like this, you hold it like this. You can't tell me you haven't done, you researched enough to see what the sonic screwdriver looked like. You just didn't, it burnt my buttons.
I wish that everyone out there could see Ashley's face right now and the hand motions he's making holding up his sonic screwdriver, because it's funny. So it burned your buttons. Fine. What other crossovers have upset you? Like, what are some of the other crossovers that burn your buttons that you're like, oh, how could they possibly... That just... What? Like, what are some of those crossovers?
I don't know. I can't think of any. I mean, they don't typically bother me. That's the thing. I mean... I'm predisposed to be bothered by Doctor Who things. It's just going to happen.
What if... I don't know if they've actually done this, so we'll do this as a what if. What if there was a crossover between Doctor Who and My Little Pony?
I just wouldn't.
But what if they did? What do you think that would look like?
I don't care. I wouldn't... It wouldn't affect me.
Really?
I mean, let them do it, you know? I don't have... I mean, I chose to read the Star Trek. You know what? I would love to see Doctor Who and Star Wars. I'd love to see a Doctor Who-Star Wars crossover. I think that would be amazing. I don't see how it could happen, but it would be amazing. I'd love to see it. It
could. Maybe the sonic screwdriver is harnessing the powers of the Force. What about Doctor Who and Bratz? With the Z...
Now you're just being pedantic.
No.
I just wouldn't even care. Like, it wouldn't even be on my radar.
Are you seriously telling me that if there was a Doctor Who
I would, and like, Bratz joke about it, Doctor but Who I wouldn't My consume Little Pony it. But what I'm saying is it would be my option to consume it or not. I chose to consume the Doctor Who Star Trek crossover, and I was very disappointed in it.
But just in theory... It wouldn't burn your buttons?
Yeah, I mean, it would be... It depends. If they had him holding a sonic screwdriver, right, it may not be that bad.
What if they mounted...
I mean, the thing is, if you do something that's well-written, it doesn't matter how ridiculous it is.
What if they mounted the sonic screwdriver to one of the horses? Little unicorn.
It's Dr. Hooves, man.
Dr. Hooves.
It's a thing. In My Little Pony universe, Dr. Hooves.
Really?
Dressed like David Tennant.
That makes me sad.
It's a thing.
I was just joking.
No, it's a thing.
Wow. All right, so if there's not many crossovers that really irritate you that much, what about ones that you'd like to see?
Yeah, like, Doctor Who, Star Wars, I think would be amazing. Keep that same thing.
What else, though?
I mean, you can cross over Ninja Turtles with anything.
You can.
And I think it would work.
I'd kind of like to see Punisher and My Little Ponies.
What'd you do with My Little Ponies?
I don't know. The first toys that popped into mind. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other crossovers that I'd like to see. Because, I mean, I enjoy movies a lot, probably more than comics. And especially in horror movies, they do a lot of the crossovers. So you have Alien versus Predator. You have Freddy versus Jason. There's all of those horror crossovers. Yeah.
See, when I think of crossovers, I think, as a kid, like you were saying, playing with all the toys and all that... Like, to me, I would love to just see this massive crossover between all those, like, 80s franchises. And they've recently done, not with 80s franchises necessarily, but with, what's the word I'm looking for? Hanna-Barbera, the Hanna-Barbera characters, they've done a comic of that where they've done this massive thing, God, I can't remember, Quest Wars or something like that. So it's like Johnny Quest and Space Ghost and the Herculoids and all of these characters, and they're doing that. But they're also doing like Scooby-Doo. They've done Scooby-Doo, and it's like Scooby-Doo Apocalypse. So it's just like kind of neat things that they've done with that. But I would love to see a cartoon with, or a show or comic or something with all of those franchises from my childhood. So you have He-Man and Transformers and Thundercats, God forbid, and Silverhawks.
What's wrong with Thundercats?
Thundercats is a horrible cartoon. It's almost unwatchable. Out of all the cartoons that I watch, like, I know what I'm getting with He-Man and stuff like that. Thundercats is almost unwatchable. It's incredibly boring.
I disagree.
But I would love to see that, like, as a nostalgic kind of person.
You know what I would like to see? Probably not, since you can't read my mind. I'd like to see a team-up between Deadpool and Snake Eyes.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Deathstroke, which is who Deadpool is ripped off of.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more of, like a buddy cop movie with Deadpool and Snake Eyes. Where they're just going around just ridding the world of terrible people.
So we just call it.
So like Snake Eyes actually kills Cobra Commander. And then like they just go about eating chimichangas and dispatching evil. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
The sarcasm would be lost on Snake Eyes.
No, he's still very smart. He just doesn't say anything.
Oh, no, I get that. He's just silent.
Yeah. So you get a lot of facial expressions under his mask.
He's silent but deadly.
Uh-huh. Do not equate my childhood hero to a fart.
It's true. He's very deadly and he doesn't talk.
Terrible.
I think there's a lot to be gained from crossovers. I don't know... I mean, the thing with a crossover is you can have anything. I mean, it's just like, do you want Superman to meet Captain America? Do you want... In the 80s, they had... DC got the rights to produce... They produced three issues, and they produced, like, this little fold-in into another book of He-Man books. And in that fold-in, it was He-Man meets Superman. So they had that. And, you know, Marvel was notorious for putting their characters even in their licensed products. So you had Transformers. There would always be, like, a Spider-Man issue of anything that you got in their licensed products. There's another one that I was looking at. Not long, ROM. ROM was a licensed product, and it had the X-Men in it. Anytime there was a licensed product that Marvel got a hold of, they put their characters into it.
Oh, yeah. And just like, hey, buy more of our stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a Marvel-DC crossover, but all of the characters that are just ripoffs of each other. So you already mentioned Deathstroke and Deadpool.
Right.
But then you have Batman and Green Arrow. You have...
Green Arrow and Batman are both DC.
That's what I meant. They're... Anyways, you have just all of those characters. So you have... Superman and Captain Marvel. You have...
Both DC.
Captain Marvel is DC?
Yeah.
Really?
Shazam?
Well, that's stupid.
Well, it's because another company owned them, and then they sued them, and then they got it. But it was not Marvel, because it was before Marvel was Marvel.
You have Aquaman and...
Namor.
And Namor.
Okay, that's right. That's
there we go.
DC and Marvel.
Like, I care that I've been getting some of them wrong. But, like, just all the characters that are very blatantly, we're the same character, just slightly different. Where they meet and just like, well...
Namor's
this,
actually
this is awkward.
Aquaman.
Yeah, regardless of who came first, I think that would be a interesting issue.
He has
issue.
Wings on his heels.
Sure. Because you know how much you need wings in the ocean.
Yes.
Are they more absorbent?
I don't know. Wow. That's good.
Yeah. They help them stay in place better. Yeah. So crossovers, shared universe, they all have their benefits. Things that I love about some of them, things that I think get really annoying. Sometimes I prefer crossovers because, hey, here's a crossover. All right, now we're going to go do something else. Shared universe, it's like, well, now that we've done this, now where do we go? Now that we've introduced Batman Can Fly, Just Cause, now how are we supposed to have him be defeated by the Joker? Now that we've... So I think they definitely have pros and cons. Really enjoy them for what they are. I don't like it when they start straying over into the other categories. You know, right. Like a what if. Love the what if issues.
Sure.
I just didn't like it when what if became, nah, now it actually is. So, yeah, there's my two cents. I really have been enjoying the cinematic universes. Kind of feel like they're starting to overdo it. Kind of wish that they would either space things out a little bit more or just take a break in general. Not sure how I feel about a new cinematic universe popping up.
I mean, it's always going to happen. I mean, there's going to be... I mean, like I said, there's Ghostbusters, there's Hasbro, there's DC, there's Marvel. Who knows what will be next? I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, this does have me really excited about what is going to happen in the future. Because, like you said...
Star Wars.
Yes, Star Wars will happen in the future.
Well, except that's it was cinematic a universe.
Long time ago. In a galaxy far away. But, you know, like you said... We were kids playing with toys and just mixing and mashing, and we didn't care. And now people like us are the ones creating these movies and saying, oh, let's just go ahead and have all of them fight each other and do all this other stuff. So I, even though part of me is a little concerned that, oh, is it going to take away some of the imagination of kids by being told, no, these characters already play together, because see, there's a movie of it. I am really interested to see what's going to come up next, how they're going to start blending and then mixing and combining all these different universes.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got.
That's what I've got.
All right. So, for Sci-Fighters, I'm Nathan.
And I'm Ashley. And we'll see you soon.